I'm John Batzer with my two colleagues, Bill Raggio and Jonathan Saya of the Foundation for Defense of Democracy, who helped me to understand the Islamic Republic of Iran right now, and certainly in terms of threat to Israel, to the region, to the world, and certainly to the United States. At the same time, the Islamic regime domestically is broken, has been for quite some time, and I learned what I can from a new book and a conversation with one of the authors, co-authors, Nilu Tabrizi and her co-author Fatima Jamalpour, for The Sun After Long Nights. To be very blunt about this, this is a book about the abuse of young women and older women by the Islamic regime, systematic abuse for the balance of the revolutionary time since 79, although it's worse now in the 21st century, I understand, than it was in the late 20th. However, it does tell me there is something called Gen Z in Iran. There's also millennials. And the Gen Z have been notable on the streets of major cities throughout Iran since the murder of a young Kurdish woman by the morality police because they didn't like the way she was covering her hair on the streets of Tehran. That's why she was murdered. That's it. Nothing more. There's no second line here. The protests have been going on for years, quieter now than they were a year or two ago. I come to you, Jonathan, because you're very informed of this matter. Gen Z is what the authors say is heedless of the threats of the Basij, the volunteer militia, the IRGC, the organized supermen, or the morality police, heedless when they charge them in the streets, when they ride their motorcycles by them and throw things, heedless in terms of their arrests and persecution and jailing and Evan prison. Is that accurate to your understanding, that Gen Z is a different cat?
Absolutely it is. So speaking from my own experience, I'm a, I guess, younger millennial. I'm on the border of being Gen Z, and I was politically active when I was in Iran. And what was mostly attributed to millennials at the time was the 2009 Green Movement. At the time, there was still hope of reform within the system. But we were really hoping to not necessarily, I mean, of course, everybody ultimately wanted the regime gone. But we thought the first step towards that would be playing into the system to see whether we can choose certain actors that might aid us in the long run. Gen Z has categorically rejected that notion, which is very notable. And again, it's not necessarily, it's something that they developed. It's a box that they were put in by the Islamic Republic, both on an economic, but more importantly, political and security level. And yes, what we've seen with the most major uprisings throughout the history of the Islamic Republic, the most major ones were mostly Gen Z. So we're talking about the Women Life Freedom Movement, that was Gen Z-led. The ones prior to that, there were some millennial, there were some working class. But I think that's when the time that Gen Z shined the most when you're talking about civic engagement against the Islamic Republic. And we see it in all across the country. It is not a Tehran-specific issue anymore. In all major cities, smaller towns, different sectors of society, I think Iranian Gen Z, similar to other Gen Z in the world, are really staying away from identity politics in a certain way and actually focusing on what really, really matters in this context, which is being Iranian and fighting against this Islamic Republic.
Bill, you have a question for Jonathan.
John, what type of support does the opposition have within the Iranian military, within the IRGC, within the besiege within the army itself? Like, it's very clear that the Iranians aren't going to be able to cast off the regime without some type of armed support from within the security sources. Does any of what the Gen Z and others who oppose the government, does that resonate within the security establishments?
It certainly does. And you bring up a good point that we ultimately, it's narrowed down into defections. How can we get that to be sustainable? And I think Crown Prince Pahlavi has really laid out a good framework for this, him and his advisors. And the idea is that it's never too late to defect. So the idea from the opposition so far has been that you were put in a box, maybe you were born into the IRGC family, or maybe you made mistakes in your life and you want to move on from that. You're realizing that the Islamic Republic is not serving the Iranian interest. It's not serving your interest. And at this point, it's barely serving its own interest. So again, it's when we're trying to pave the way for change, we need to realize that we cannot alienate all of those who are holding the guns currently. There needs to be a pathway forward. And they've actually launched the defection program by the opposition for people to be able to register and, of course, go through rigorous vetting when the time comes. Have we seen examples of this? Yes, we have. And it was actually led by Israelis, not by opposition yet. So that's the change we're seeing, that the opposition is leveraging defections. But what we've seen is that Mossad officials have spoken about this off the record, that they were able to not only recruit former or current active duty members, like military personnel, RGC, like you mentioned, Basij and police, but we've also seen them actually recruit and train dissidents that are solely in the business for ideological anti-regime reasons. They're only there to fight back against the regime. They're not necessarily affiliated with perhaps a Zionist Mossad or necessarily any other opposition group. They're there to bring down the Islamic Republic, and they will get whatever training is necessary. And as with any revolution around the world, external factors and external players are key. And it's interesting that we're arriving at a moment where as these two are merging.
Jonathan Saya of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, Bill Rajo, a senior fellow at the FTD. You can find Jonathan's reporting on the Long War Journal that is maintained by Mr. Rajo.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.